You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. I am indeed James Edwards this very cold Saturday evening, January 19th, here in Tennessee. Thank you for joining us for what will be a very passionate show this evening, during which Keith Alexander and I are going to lay into some of our signature issues. You never know what the news is going to bring you each week and what topics are going to lay themselves in front of you just waiting to be picked up and covered on this broadcast. But this week, we are full to the brim of things, each of them, all of them. I cannot wait to present to you. At the third hour tonight, you really want to stay tuned to the whole show tonight. I know I say that, and I mean it every week, but I particularly mean it this week. Sam Dixon, the great Sam Dixon, is going to return as our featured guest tonight during the third hour to discuss Robert E. Lee, Representative Steve King, and what's going on with him, as well as an assortment of current events. That's coming up in the third hour. The first 2 hours, it is just going to be me and Keith. We've got a lot to cover, so we're doing a little extended play together this week. Now, why did I mention Robert E. Lee, Keith? Of course, as you know, we want to dedicate tonight's show to the great Confederate general, General Lee. It was on this day in 1807 that the greatest American, Robert Edward Lee, was born. And so we know that it is important that we remember our heroes. And I would encourage everyone to take a moment this weekend to reflect on the life and the sacrifice of General Lee. This is his birthday. We dedicate tonight's broadcast to him. Keith, just a couple of words on that. I know that there is someone else that America is focusing on tomorrow, on Monday at least, this weekend and on Monday. We're not going to sully the name of this show tonight by mentioning that person's name. I know in past years around this time, we do an expose on that particular individual. There's going to be some stuff up on the website on Monday if you want to read more about him. We're not going to mention his name tonight. He is not worthy of having his name mentioned on this show. But Robert E. Lee is. Speak to that, Keith.
Well,
hang on. I got to turn you up and you got to get right close.
Yeah, make sure, I got to get right on it.
You're on it.
Okay. Well, you know, not mentioning that other person is like not mentioning the 800-pound gorilla in the living room.
Well, we've mentioned him every year. We're just not going to mention him tonight.
The thing is, we don't want to focus unduly on him. But, you know, they are linked, unfortunately, in at least the modern mind, because this person basically took over Robert E. Lee's birthday as a holiday. And, you know, Robert E. Lee's birthday wasn't, I guess, a national holiday, but President's Day celebrated both Lee and Washington, and in the South, universally, and an awful lot of what we call flyover country, or what you know, our elites call flyover country in America, celebrated him. And he is really a paragon. Yeah, if you're going to name a national holiday after a single individual, that needs to be a paragon, not somebody with feet of clay who has proven himself to be human, all too human in too many ways, to borrow Nietzsche's phrase. Robert E. Lee graduated second in his class from West Point. Furthermore, he's the only person ever in the history of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point to graduate without earning a single demerit. He was a brilliant general. He was Lincoln's first choice to head the primary Union Army in the Civil War, the Army of the Potomac, but he turned it down because of his allegiance to his state. He also did not own slaves at that point. He had inherited slaves through his wife from that from her family, and he emancipated them. On the other hand, the primary Union general of the Civil War, Ulysses S. Grant, held on to his slaves until the very last moment, when they were liberated by act of the United States government with the ratification of the 13th Amendment. And when he was asked why he hadn't emancipated them earlier, his reply was, good help is hard to find.
Well, and of course, Keith, as you know, we do have our Confederate History Month series, our annual tribute to the South, coming up in April, so it's just a couple of months away. So I don't want to go too big into this. I think just in starting tonight, I mean, we could spend a full 3 hours, and it would be 3 hours well spent documenting the life and the virtue of Robert E. Lee. I guess just the biggest thing you need to focus on was not necessarily even his bravery or how wonderful his military mind was, but just that a man would be given the opportunity to take leadership of the Union Army and turn it down to accept a cause that was certainly a cause that, no matter how righteous, was one that was going to be hard fought to win. He turned down a sure thing for his principles and for loyalty to his kinsmen, and those are the type of men we need to emulate.
Well, he did that in many ways. For example, after the Civil War, he was offered an awful lot of money in order to endorse a particular railroad or a bank or whatnot to go on with them, but he wouldn't do that. Instead, he took a $5,000-a-year job as the head of Washington and Lee University. It was Washington University at the time. His name was added later. And, of course, in today's world, the present people in charge of Washington Lee University are busily trying to distance themselves from Robert E. Lee. If you distance yourself from Robert E. Lee, you're distancing yourself from everything that is righteous and noble in the human spirit.
I have had the opportunity. I've gone out of my way, in fact, on trips to Washington that I've driven on, as opposed to flying in. And I always go out of my way if I drive to Washington. I've been to Washington for different events and conferences and the inauguration, of course. Been to Washington many times, but if I ever drive, I always, and I mean every single time I drive, I go out of my way to go to Lexington, Virginia, which is, of course, where Robert E. Lee is buried, and with also the burial site of Stonewall Jackson. They're buried just a couple of blocks apart, and to go there and to reflect is just a wonderful thing. It makes you feel like a better person just to stand there and to reflect at their resting places. And anyway, so we've already spent more time on this than I wanted to. I know it's a jam-packed show, but we did want to make mention of the fact that today is Robert E. Lee's birthday. We are dedicating tonight's show to General Lee. And again, in Confederate History Month, I'm sure we'll study and reflect on his life much more. But I think there needs to be one AM show in the country that makes mention of the fact that today is Robert E. Lee's birthday. And like so many times, we're the show to do it.
And Lexington, Virginia is a beautiful place. I played baseball on the college baseball team of the college I attended, which was a small college. And they were in the same league as Washington and Lee. And I remember going to Lexington, Virginia for the conference tournament at the end of the year, or end of the season of the spring sports. And VMI is also located in Lexington. That was where Stonewall Jackson taught, and I think graduated from there also. It was the South's version of West Point at that time. And going around back then in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a totally different world, and there was nothing but reverence for both of those figures at that time.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
And rightly so. Well, anyway, General Lee, happy birthday. This show is dedicated to you. I hope in some small way that there will be honor found in that. Hey, one thing very quickly, folks, before we take the first break of the night. We've been so busy revamping our website in honor of our 15th anniversary year. This is that year. That I forgot to post TPC's top 10 moments of 2018 a couple of weeks ago, but better late than never. So please go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and enjoy a quick look back on our journey together last year by recounting the top 10 moments. They're at the website now, finally published. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, we spent that first segment getting... settling into the show, talking a little bit about General Lee. Now let's get down to business. Steve King, Representative Steve King, Republican out of Iowa, Congressman out of Iowa, is under fire this week. But before we get to Steve King, let's back up just a little bit. There is another anniversary. We're talking about it being Robert E. Lee's birthday. Another anniversary just passed. On January 14th, 1963, George Wallace was first inaugurated, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up, as governor of Alabama. So that was just over a week more than 56 years ago. So 56 years ago, January 14th, 1963, George Wallace delivered that iconic inaugural address, standing on the Gold Star, which marked the spot where just 100 years earlier, in 1863, Jefferson Davis was sworn in as president of the Confederate States of America. Now, I haven't asked Sam to pull this clip and get it queued up. I'm going to try to play it from my local speaker. Let's just see how it goes, and I'll tell you why I wanted to play this tonight. Let's see if you can hear it. This was what you would have heard if you were in Alabama in January of 1963.
In the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. Let us send this message back to Washington by our representatives who are here with us today, that from this day we are standing up, and the heel of tyranny does not fit the neck of an upright man. That we intend to take the offensive and carry our fight for freedom across this nation, wielding the balance of power we know we possess in the Southland. That we, not the insipid block voters of some sections, will determine in the next election who shall sit in the White House of these United States.
Okay, so that was how it went. The crowd cheered. Now, agree with him or not, and by the way, I believe that was a fantastic speech. It was a powerful speech. It was a passionate speech. It was little more than 50 years ago we had sitting governors who dared to speak so boldly at their inauguration. Today we have Representative Steve King. Who am I like? I like Steve King quite a bit. I think as our friend Buddy in Arkansas wrote this week, he is the only one out of the 535 members of Congress that at all defends our positions. But now we have Steve King just 50 years later after George Wallace said his inauguration address, segregation now, segregation forever. Steve King is voting to condemn himself for angering the false gods of political correctness. Steve King, of course, as you know, said Western civilization, how did that become offensive? It was taking it out of context, and of course, we'll talk about that in a second. The Republicans are literally tripping over themselves to condemn Steve King. They have stripped him of all his committee assignments and are trying to get him to, as you put it, Keith, commit Harry Caray. Tell us a little more about what's going on.
Well, what you're seeing is the playing out of the truthfulness of Robert Louis Dabney's famous comments about modern conservatism back in the 1870s, about how feckless it was and how ineffectual it was, and that it was basically constantly in the shadow of progressivism and liberalism and was not really serious about trying to roll back anything. This is what the Republican Party stands for today. It is basically the timid little brother of the Democrats in every way. The Republican Party hierarchy, if you say anything that is even vaguely politically incorrect, and what Steve King said actually was, how did terms like white nationalist and white advocate and...
And then he said Western civilization, but they didn't put that in.
When did those become controversial? And then if you listen to the reports of the mainstream media, you would think that he had gone into a full-throated embrace of saying, I'm a white nationalist and I'm proud of it. But he didn't do like George Wallace. He was basically just saying, how did these terms get to be so radioactive? And what does the Republican Party do? They immediately throw him under the bus. They immediately try to disfellowship him like my friend James Edwards was disfellowshipped by the Southern Baptist Convention.
And Keith, of course, it's very similar to the treatment you received from the Republican Party here when you were
running.
Oh,
yeah. They sent my $25 check back for being a member of the local party.
And it's always the same thing. There's no room in the Republican Party. There's no room in the party of Lincoln. Lincoln was one of the biggest pieces of that this country's ever produced, along with the person whose holiday I'm not celebrating on Monday. But, yeah, there's no room in the party of Lincoln for Keith Alexander. There's no room in the party of Lincoln for Steve King. There's no room in the party of Lincoln for white people.
No room in the Southern Baptist Convention or in Christianity for James Edwards. See, this absurdity has got to come to an end. The left is pushing stuff to such an extreme that people are going to have to stand up and be counted. And if the Republican Party doesn't want to fight, they need to, as they say with the Marines, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
So if anybody's been out of the country this week, here's the story. I'll read from one of the countless stories on this. The House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted on Tuesday to formally condemn white supremacy in reference to the racist remarks by Representative Steve King. House Resolution 41, introduced by Majority Whip James Clyburn, a Democrat out of South Carolina, said we need to reject white supremacy, white nationalists, et cetera, et cetera. They were responding to this interview with the New York Times. In it, according to the New York Times, King asked how the terms white supremacist and white nationalist became offensive. Now, that is not true, according to King. And I'll tell you what he said in just a moment, and it relates to many of my experiences with the print media. I believe Steve King on this. The GOP, of course, was initially criticized for delaying its condemnation of King. The resolution passed 424-1. The one that voted against it was a black congressman who said that, it wasn't strong enough, of course. And for his part, King voted yes on the resolution to condemn himself, saying that I asked my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, let's vote for this resolution.
Why is human nature so consistent? This is just exactly what former Bolsheviks did during Stalin's purges back in the 1930s. They would confess extravagantly, blabber and about how sorry they were and how they had sinned and whatnot, and it didn't save a single one of them from the firing squad. And Steve King is going to find that out. That's whatever. Once they come out with this type of stuff, it's time to take the gloves off and do the right thing, which is to defend your right to have a dissident opinion about things.
That is, in fact, a point made by the American Renaissance Twitter account, which wrote, and again, I like Steve King. I know a lot of people, once again, a lot of people in the alt-right are condemning Steve King themselves. I like Steve King. I actually spoke with Steve King at the Republican National Convention. Ran into him in the hall. Seems to be a sincere, good guy. Now, before the media reports on that, and I don't guess it'll matter, but I don't think he knew who I was in that exchange, but we did talk for a little bit. But in any event, the American Renaissance wrote, at a certain point, Steve King will have nothing else to lose. If he is on the brink of being expelled from Congress, that should allow him to make a speech that exposes racial double standards, attacks Republican cowardice, and asserts white interest. I don't think there's any doubt that Steve King, in his heart, understands what's going on and is realistic about the present situation, and he's taken it about as well. He's taken it further than any current member of the government, to be sure. But well, of course, we would want him to take it a little bit further. But you know, anybody that's a Republican congressman can condemn Steve King. That's like people who criticize some of the things we do or don't do. If you have walked through the fires that we have, then you can tell us how you would do it. Until you have, and I will say this for Steve King: until one of us have been there in Congress, give him credit and let's objectively criticize if we need to. But all of this piling on that I see of Steve King is frankly a little bit upset. Is a little bit ridiculous, even coming from our people.
Well, the Republican Party needs to learn that they're going to have to embrace white identity politics, because white people, like it or not, are their base. And if they won't stand up for them, the things have come to such a point now that you're going to have to, or else just, you know, plan to fade into history.
We're going to talk a little more about this Steve King issue when we come back. So much more to come tonight, including Sam Dixon in the third and final hour. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I was looking through my notes at some of the stories that we still have to provide you with commentary on, and man, this show is packed. I don't know if you've heard about the meteorologist who was fired in Syracuse, New York for a little slip of the tongue. He referred to a certain someone as Martin Luther Kuhn. I don't know who he was talking about in that, but it got him fired anyway. And the SPLC's latest groveling isn't good enough. They've been attacked by the media. And he's brought in a story. We're going to talk about what's the latest with Dr. James Watson and Sam Dixon still to come tonight. But right now we're talking about Steve King. So there was a headline in the Washington Post. Steve King says he was just defending Western civilization. That's racist, too.
Okay, so according to the Washington Post.
According to the Washington Post, that's where we're at. The ADL is thanking Congressman Clyburn from New York for leading the House in a rejection of white nationalism and white supremacy. There's no place for bigotry in America.
Well, here's the problem.
They would know a little
that.
Something about that, wouldn't they?
Well, here's the situation. Call it what you will. The real term is white identity politics. Every other group, blacks, Jews, Muslims, Hispanics, homosexuals, feminists, all are practicing identity politics. We had better get into the game. We had better lose our shyness as white people about identifying as white and lobbying for the interests, the group interests of our group. If we don't, we will continue to bring a knife to the gunfight, and it's just a matter of time until things until we're wiped out, basically. That's what's going to happen. What will if you want to see a preview of what will happen with reducing white birth rates and continuing marginalization, ostracizing of whites, look at what has happened to whites in the former Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, and what is going on right now in South Africa. That will be your future, the future that you have laid down for your children and grandchildren, if you don't start, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns and fighting for your best interests.
Well, let's get to exactly what was said and what wasn't said. But first, it's no surprise that a white-hating black would condemn King. It's no surprise that the ADL would condemn King.
Listen, is Steve King, by
Steve
the way.
Yeah, Steve King, not the other one. That's about the only real thing about him. Well, I believe his last name really was King. We know his first name wasn't the other, Martin Luther. But, yeah, so this is, we're talking about Steve King here. So
wrong King.
Now, this is no King but Steve in Congress, as they say. But his Republican colleagues, listen to this. This is where it gets really pathetic. You would expect Clyburn and the ADL to fall in line, but listen to what came from his Republican colleagues, Governor Chris Christie. The recent comments from Steve King were reprehensible and should be repugnant to any American. It is unacceptable.
Chris Christie is reprehensible and should be repugnant to anybody in the Republican Party. He's a big fat slob.
And here's Representative Dan Crenshaw. This is the guy from Texas that wears a pirate patch. Proud to vote in over his eye. Proud to vote in favor of House Resolution 41, which denounced white nationalism and white supremacy. Representative Steve King's comments have no place in my country.
Okay, and again, you're so brave.
Keith, the bravery, though. I mean, my God, how brave
is
a guy like that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they just fall in line. You know, this is, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Here's another one. Representative Kevin McCarthy on Steve King. Not the first time we've heard these comments. That is not the party of Lincoln, and definitely not America, where we're all created equal. There's never been more ludicrous that all men are created equal. That is the most nonsensical. Nobody believes that.
Even Thomas Jefferson distanced himself from that. later in his life,
in his
correspondence with John Adams.
I would say the chairman of the Republican Party, but it's a chairwoman now, don't you know? Her name's Ronna McDaniel, and she said...
not a charwoman, but a chairwoman.
There's no place for Steve King. He's totally inconsistent with the Republican Party. Here's Mitt Romney. Now, you know Mitt Romney's going to come in and weigh in on this. If there's an opportunity to cuck, you're going to find Mitt Romney right there first in line. I don't think there's room for Steve King's comments in polite company, much less the Republican Party. I think he ought to step aside.
Congress
ought to make it very clear he has no place here.
But then he says the very same thing about the Republican president currently residing in the White House. So, you know, look, these people are pathetic Me Too images of the Democratic Party. They are basically just a little bit weaker tea of the same witch's brew. And as Democrats, we've got to get real leadership in there, people that will fight for our interests, not people that will throw anyone who even mentions that he might have an affinity towards his white constituency under the bus. If that's what you're going to do, you know, we're already done. You know, we're just waiting for the knock on the door.
Well, I'll tell you, two-thirds of the Republican Party voting base are much further to the right than Steve King is. So what they're saying about Steve King, they're saying it about two-thirds of their voters, minimum.
Yeah, and we've got to – what we've got to do, both in your local Republican Party, your state party, and in the national party, is repudiating people like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is no Republican, and he can't represent any of us effectively.
Well, let's get down let's boil this all the way down to the core. Two more quick cucks here. Karl Rove dumped Steve King before he damages the conservative cause more. If this is conservatism,
what is liberalism?
Get way away from it. And Kevin McCarthy, the GOP leader, let me be clear. Steve King's language is reckless, wrong, and has no place in society. As a House GOP leader, I will not let this stand. Action will be taken. How brave, you little cuck, you little maggot.
You little weenie.
You little maggot. You're pathetic. But listen, here is what Steve King himself says. In a 56-minute interview with the New York Times, we discussed the changing language in political discourse. We discussed the worn-out label racist, in my observation that other slanderous labels have been increasingly assigned to conservatives by the left who injected into our current political dialogue such terms as Nazi, fascist, white nationalist, white supremacist, and then he paused, even Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? All right, and from that, he had a pause, and then he said, Western civilization, how did that language? It's clear, and he makes clear here, that he was saying, how did Western civilization become offensive? But what did the New York Times wrote? They took it out of context, and they said, he said, white nationalists, white supremacists, how did that language become offensive? When, in fact, there was a pause, and then he said, Western civilization, how did that become offensive? Now, I have had countless exchanges with print media. This is one of the reasons I turned down 95% of the interview requests. And I had a very similar exchange with the lead editor, the executive editor, editor-in-chief, whatever you want to call it, of the Washington Post some years ago. This is how they do it. They will take it out of context. They will cut and chop, copy and paste, and they'll put together what they want it to say. So he never said what they said. All of the stuff about the condemnation and the resolution against Steve King, that's based on something he never said. They cut out a couple of words, spliced it together how they wanted, printed it, and then everybody else just fell in line in reaction to that. Steve King is telling you what he said, and what he said is not what was published in the Washington Post. But I have seen this happen personally. Now, how do I know this happens? Because it has happened to me. And so I'm telling you from firsthand experience, this is how the print media works, and it's how they work with people that they hate and people that they're out to get. And Steve King honestly should have known better because he has more experience with them than I do.
Well, until we stand up and insist on representatives that actually represent us and don't want to sell us out, you're going to have people like Karl Rove, these phony, specious conservatives who are just doing what their paymasters want them to do. And their paymasters are the same group that are the paymasters of the Democrats, Jewish Power and Influence. They're the ones that own the National Review. They're the ones that own the Weekly Standard. They're the ones that have the editorships. And basically, that's what's driving all of this anti-white Gentile animus that seems to be you know, growing like a cancer and metastasizing in every aspect of our life. You're no longer even allowed to speak in your own defense, much less act in your defense. And because of things like this, it's time, you know, the hour is late, folks. We're going to have to insist that we have real representatives, and we've got to stop a Republican Party that would vote unanimously against this man. And that's what they did.
They did vote unanimously. There was one vote against, and it was
a Democrat.
Yeah, a Democrat saying that the language wasn't condemning him strongly
because
enough.
They didn't lynch him, that they didn't go far enough, apparently. Well, see, this is what we've come to. This is if this isn't the 11th hour and 59th minute, I don't know what is. We're here at this point, and it's time that you have to, you know, this is when you've got to stand up and be counted. When something as innocuous as Steve King's comments elicits this type of reaction, you know that we are really near the end, folks.
That's our commentary on the Steve King situation, although Sam Dixon will be offering his take on it in the third hour, so stay tuned for that. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about this meteorologist who was fired in Syracuse, New York a couple of days ago. Stay tuned for this story. Pretty interesting.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Keith, if you don't mind letting me hold court here for a second, I will put everything out here on this story and then toss it over to you. First of all, we need a new quote in America. we've had Make America Great Again. Let's make white men manly again, because there are not enough manly white men. If you want to see, look, I'll set the best example that I can. No retreat, no surrender, no apology. Never have I apologized for being right. Never have I retreated from my position. And never have I, what is the other one? I've certainly never surrendered, because we're still here 15 years and going strong. So a meteorologist was fired in Syracuse, New York. Now, America's state religion is political correctness, and its high priests have offered another sacrifice to their God, Martin Luther King.
A human sacrifice.
To their God, Martin Luther King. And I'm just going to read the story. During a live broadcast Friday evening, this was two Fridays ago, in New York, WHEC chief meteorologist Jeremy Capel spoke of the weather at Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Park. See, that was the first problem. They shouldn't have named a park after such a degenerate. In downtown Rochester, where a Zamboni smoothed over the community ice skating rink. When he uttered the park's name, Capel inserted another word that has been used as a racial slur towards black people. It looked gray at, quote, Martin Luther King Coon Jr. Park, Capel said, appearing to stumble over the word coon. 3 days later, the general manager at News 10 NBC announced on air that Capel no longer worked for the TV station. Well, don't you know? And that he was terribly sorry to all of their viewers, and added a statement online that he regrets that the station did not immediately interrupt the broadcast and apologize on the spot. Because, you know, apologizing really helps the situation. Capel claims that his word choice was nothing more than a flub, and has waged a campaign on social media and through formal statements defending his intent. That was not a word I said. I promise you that, Capel said, referring to the racial slur. Quote, if you feel that I hurt you in any way, I sincerely apologize. And by the way, he's still fired, so much for that apology. I would never, this is where it gets thick, I would never want to tarnish the reputation of such a great man as Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., one of the greatest leaders of all time. Now, that Keith, I think, was reason enough for him to be fired, but not the other. His firing stings, honestly, a little less after such an embarrassing display of groveling. Now, I discussed this story in depth with Bill Johnson and Ken Gibbidin on their YouTube show, and that's up at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So if you're interested in this story, go to our website, go back a couple of days on the blog, and you'll find the video. But was that enough, Keith? Do you think that apology was enough? No. The Rochester Association of Black Journalists asked for a complete explanation of the words, and they want to know what measure is going to be taken to prevent incidents like this from occurring in the future. It's never enough, and he apologized, he groveled, he embarrassed himself, and he's still fired.
It is the left's version of Sharia law. Basically, what they the only thing that would satisfy them was for this man to be beheaded, you know, for violating Sharia law of the left, which is thou shalt not say anything even remotely negative about Martin Luther King.
Political correctness is the state religion. Martin Luther King is its God.
He's their patron saint.
And, he's their God. I mean, he's flat out the God.
And furthermore, he was just a front man. They don't seem to understand that. People, you know, look.
You know who does not understand it, Keith? We have had, unlike any other show on AM radio in the last probably 50 years, we have had, he's gone on to his eternal reward. He's looking down on us in heaven tonight. Chief of Police Drew Lackey from the Montgomery Police Department. We have had people who've actually met King, who have talked to King, who have worked with King.
And knew him.
And intimately. Knew his tactics and knew what he was all about. And, man, what a story he had to share with us in that interview. But we know.
That was over 10
years. We know
years
what
ago.
Everybody knew back then. But now, of course, the mythology of King has taken root because so few of those people are still around.
And see, it's a lie that everybody has agreed to accept.
Emperor has no clothes.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And when you have the guts to come out and tell people that the emperor has no clothes, I think it was Voltaire or somebody that said that the most dangerous position you can have is a position or a thought that you can have is a thought that is not endorsed by the establishment of the present time. That's what we have today. It doesn't matter. The truth be damned about Martin Luther King or any of these other so-called sainted people that worked behind the scenes
even
to
King's
promote any liberal, radical, egalitarian idea, whether it's feminism, whether it's the civil rights movement, whether it is, global warming, any of these things, they want the same. They're ramping up to have that type of power over everybody's life. You're going to have to be complicit in their lie or else you won't be allowed to make a living.
Even King's contemporaries, his peers in the Swindle Whites movement of the 1960s, like Ralph Abernathy, knew what a
two-legged dog he was.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there's three components to this story that Bill Johnson brought up to me in that interview that I gave to him and King Gibbon. Again, check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. In this particular locale outside of Syracuse, it is a majority white electorate. And this majority white electorate elected a black woman mayor to be their, well, mayor. And, of course, she called for his head. And so did they.
What they really want is to have like a little switch and have all of these talking heads on TV sitting in an electric chair where they can hit that switch and basically immolate them as soon as they do a transgression of political correctness.
So you have this white electorate that elected a black woman mayor, and Bill asked me what was their motivation. I said they're of course motivated by their virtue signaling, by this sense of pathological altruism that they can, they're good, they're the good white. They will elect a black woman mayor to represent their majority white area because they want to be patted on the head by society and told that they're good. So the white electorate, they elected this black woman to be their mayor, and they called for this guy's head. Then there was the white station management, and their motivation was, hey, better him than us. This is the path of least resistance. If we don't do what the mob wants, they may come for us too. And this is a problem that white people have, Keith.
Well, I have to tell you that they are coming for us.
I guess
they want to be the last person killed, but they're not getting any brownie points with the people that they are trying to aggrandize themselves to. They are not going, they're not going to have their job saved. They're not going to have their wealth saved or anything else. They're going down with the ship, folks, and they better realize it sooner than later, because otherwise, you know, they're just complicit in their own gradual suicide.
Well, this is the problem that we have here with this white station management, who instantly not only fired this guy. And by the way, I do believe this to be a slip of the tongue. I don't think this guy intended it. He's a white cuck from Syracuse, New York. It was just a slip of the tongue.
Freudian slip, maybe.
But I totally believe that he didn't have any malicious intent there, and it was just a mistake, and he groveled, and of course that didn't save him. But so the station management, now what's motivating them? The problem is with whites especially, is that we are motivated by individuality. We're looking after number one instead of looking after the collective. There's been too much individualism with white people and not enough collectivism. We need
not
to look
enough
after
our
group. And then, of course, what motivates the black female mayor who called for his head? Well, of course, she's motivated by her hatred of white men. Now, individually, you can have positive relationships with other races. I have, you know, the blacks that I know, I've gotten along with them fabulously, and they with me on a one-on-one basis. But as a general rule, blacks have been taught by their single mothers to resent and not trust the unknown white man. So you have three components here. The white electorate, who elected this black woman, now they're motivated by their virtue signaling, their altruism. We're good. We're not like those southern, you know, those white southerners. We elected this black woman to represent our majority white area. And yes, she's calling for this guy's head, even though he had groveled. The white station management, their motivation is, hey, better him than us, and we're not gonna stick our neck out for a brother of ours. We're gonna let the mob eat him. And then, of course, the black female mayor is motivated by her hatred of white men.
And eventually, their time will come in the spotlight. And you know, it's just like the Stalinist show trials. You know, they basically find you confess to everything and more than they have accused you with, thinking that somehow you will save yourself. And what you've saved yourself for is they will hand you a pistol and give you the opportunity to commit suicide before they march you in front of the firing squad to have other people do the same thing to you. So you're not going to gain anything from this. People need to stand up, and we need to say, you know, for example, they need to boycott that station. Everybody needs to boycott that station.
But that's the problem. Whites don't operate as a collective. I mean, if this had happened,
but every other group does.
If a black guy had insulted white people, I mean, not only would there have been no outcry at all, there would have been no issue advocacy organizations. There's no equivalent of the NAACP. There's no political pressure. There's no social pressure. There's certainly no black. You know, this is the thing that kills you, is that the whites are the ones causing trouble for this guy, the ones complaining. Do you think if a black insulted a white that the blacks would be like, no, you know, we can't do that to white people?
No, they never did. Well, for example, look at the mayor of Memphis, Jim Strickland, a white guy from Indiana, a carpetbagger that came down here and basically spearheaded the move to take down the Confederate statues at Forest Park and Confederate Park in Memphis. Well,
in violation of all state law, by the way.
Yeah, and what does he do? He thinks that everybody in town, including all the white people, are behind him. I think he's going to get an object lesson in how many people he offended because he has announced that he is running for mayor again.
And he's running against Boss Hogg. Right. Willie Harrington, the black mayor of
Memphis.
And
he's going to find out that in the eyes of these people that he was trying to aggrandize himself to, he's just another honky.
Hey, Willie Harrington, I remember there was one black guy, a kid in my private school, in the early 90s when Harrington got elected. He was running down the halls. I was in fifth grade. Willie's going to be the next mayor of Memphis again. He was in there for about 25 years. But anyway, we'll be back. Second hour. Stay tuned.